we left off yesterday discussing the Sugya Shlachos. We pointed out there's really a machlokes amoraim as to what the very nature of the issuance in the Shlachos is. You had a machlokes, the early amoraim, Rav and Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan, and Ula, the Chachmei Sol, Chachmei Bovel, as to whether the bracha and Shlachos remains the bar for Adamo, and the bracha and Shlachos, you cook vegetable when the bracha goes down to Shahakol. So the two different approaches of the Sugya were that according to Rav Nachman, there's a fundamental machlokes, there's a fundamental issue. And we try to identify what that fundamental issue was, that perhaps it's related to the issue of Shinikona, whether it's precisely the same as Shinikona or a spin-off of Shinikona, but it's clearly, according to Rav Nachman, some kohath or kula related issue. A haraya, proof positive, is that Rav Nachman compared the issue of the bracha of Rav Shakal to the question of Masim and Mushalas and other areas of Halacha, which clearly have nothing to do with those brachas per se. And then we had a totally different twist on the Sugya, which is Chizr. Chizr said that this has nothing to do with Matzah, nothing to do with Shina, with Estadona. Rather, this is just a din of Chiz Brachos, and therefore Chizr formulated that Loch as being that there never really was Machlokes Amoraim. It was just that they're talking about two different cases. One is talking about when the cooking makes it into the normal way of eating, and one is talking about when it's raw, it's normal. So in Shulchan Aruch we pass like with Chizr. Shulchan Aruch we pass in like Rubin, the Rishon, like with Chizr, that the real factor that matters is not so much as a shlachos, it's not shlachos, but rather, is this considered to be the normal way of eating? You know, we saw yesterday that somebody showed and had the nuance of not so much a function of derech, or it's tov lechol, but we said it's probably pretty much the same. 99% of the time, what tastes good is going to be the normal way of eating. What doesn't taste good is probably not going to be the normal way of eating. And so the maisa, the way we formulate this halach, it appears to be that it all depends on what's called derech echila. So notwithstanding this cloud that we have now based on the end of yesterday, so again, that everything ultimately depends on derech achila, there still is a little bit of some degree of lack of clarity as to how exactly precisely you define the term derech achila. So the Mishnah Berurah in the seventh of the Maamar Kamos, Mishnah Berurah in Siman Resh Hei Sif Aleph, the Mishnah Berurah says, if you take a look at the third line of the Mishnah Berurah, I'm sure it's Shubish Matzadid Lomar. If filu rakim eim avarach bor priadama, rakim medinos shederach laochlan rakim below pas. Above the medinos seinu, shela ova mederach medinam lecho shumer betolam chayim, atkashim rakim below pas, eim avarach aleim el shachal, vachim matzadid vishas adam levar shachal. So it says the Mishnah Berurah, what do you have something like onions? Is a raw onion considered to be something which is derech la'achol or not? So as we mentioned yesterday, obviously it's going to depend on the time and the place. So what was the Metzius Advar in the days of Mishnah Berurah? The Mishnah Berurah writes, probably not all that different as man is that, and that most normal people don't eat as a snack a raw onion. However, it is considered to be normal to have a raw onion together with bread, the Mishnah Berurah says. I would cut out bread as man is that and put it in salad. It means it's normal to eat raw onions not by themselves. So now the question becomes, the person goes in and eats a raw onion by itself, what bracha does he make? So if the raw onions in the salad, it's going to be bottles, going to be tumbled to the salad, make adama on the lettuce, tomatoes, and cucumbers, and the onion's going to be covered. But what if you would have a person today who would sit down and take a bite out of a raw onion? What would the bracha be? So, Mechora, one could make the following shayla. Maybe we could argue that since it is derech bakach to eat onions raw, even though it's only eaten raw with the bread, the Mishnah Berurah, and the salad, as much as that, but sof kol sof, that's called derech lechol chai. So therefore, if a person would eat the onion raw, the bracha would be a bar pri adama. Or maybe one could argue, that when we define what's called eaten raw, what's called eaten cooked, so you have to look at the food itself. You can't look at the food together with other foods. Is this a type of food? What's a carrot? So it's normal to eat a plain raw carrot. An apple is normal to eat a plain uncooked apple. So that's called a bar pri adama, bar pri. An onion, since it's not normal to eat a raw onion, that would say the fact that it's normal to eat it with a salad. Well, not level my root. That's considered to be like eating a raw potato, and therefore the bracha would be shahakol. So the Mishnah Berurah alludes to this machlekes. The Mishnah Berurah paskins like the chayodam, that in fact, for this reason, the bracha on the raw onions is shahakol. So notwithstanding the pesach of the Mishnah Berurah, there are others who disagree, notably the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Baal HaTanya. So the Shulchan Aruch Harav paskins like the other opinion in the Acharonim. No, that anything that's considered to be derech la'ochla, albeit that it's not derech lechol by itself, that qualifies as derech lechol raw, and therefore the correct bracha on a raw onion would in fact be, according to Shulchan Aruch Harav, a bor pri adama. So not enough community for us, most of us aren't eating the raw onions anyway, so it makes such a fuss out of the raw onion. So this machlekes between the Mishnah Berurah and the Shulchan Aruch Harav affect the Shiloh, a little bit past his mama Taita, but never too early for next year. The following Shiloh. So Gemara tells us at the end of Masechet Pesachim that the Chacham instituted that we're supposed to have karpas at the seder. It was supposed to be mitava, we're supposed to do the first of the dippings. And the assumption is that that which we use for dipping is supposed to be a bracha bara pri adama. Why exactly is that? So the Mishnah never says that explicitly. The Mishnah speaks about the tava b'yarakos. Yarakos is usually bara pri adama. So the Rishonim point out that there may be a very real reason why that first people must dafka be a bara pri adama. There's something that we touched a little bit during the Shabbos Avodah Zarah, and it was there that there's a machlokes in the Rishonim about Moror. When we come to Moror to say to her, so the Gemara says the Seirish, and when you eat Moror, you just make one bracha on Moror, Alachilas Moror. So all the Rishonim ask, why do you just make an Alachilas Moror? Why don't you make a Bar Pri Adama also? So the question is, why should you not make a Bar Pri Adama? So some Rishonim say, you don't understand the Shaila B'chla, what do you mean? You should make a Bar Pri Adama. You eat the Moror after you eat the Matzah. So you just wash. So the same way you don't make a bar pri adama on the potato kugels, you know, make a bar pri adama in the moro. Anything that's balmach with a suit, anything that's part of the meal, so does it require a bracha rishona? So they don't understand what the question is all together. So comes Tosus and reformulates the question. Comes Tosus and says, no, not so simple. That moro may very well require a bar pri adama, because al pi halacha it's labeled as dvar mabam shalom machmas asuda. Well, hopefully we'll get to this later on. I'm not sure exactly when this year, but maybe in June we'll get to this sugya about Dvar Mabar Machmas HaSe'uda. Basically, the halacha is, when you make a motzi, the beginning of a meal, it doesn't exempt all foods. It only exempts those foods which are considered to be an integral part of the meal. That's the halacha we know. There's a whole sugya in the Gemara, and you shun about the bracha desserts, because desserts are usually not considered to be the major part of the meal. Other kinds of things, appetizers, shilas, a lot of shilas in the Rishonim. Where do you draw the line? What's called Dvar Mabar Machmas HaSe'uda? What's called Dvar Mabar Mishlam Machmas HaSe'uda? So Tosfos quotes there were some opinions that maintain that Mora is not really Dvar Mabar Machmas HaSe'uda, because if you don't usually sit down at the beginning of a meal and have a piece of a horseradish, or all of a sudden take a stalk of romaine lettuce at the beginning of the meal. So some Rishonim formulate the question by saying, if so, that Mor is Dvar Mabar Mishlam Machmas HaSe'uda, and the Chorich should require a bracha of Bar Pri Adama. And it doesn't. The Gemara of the Pharisee says it doesn't. So Taisus in different places tries to answer that question. So one place Taisus tries, no, that's called Dvar Mabar Machmas HaSe'uda, but it's eaten as an appetizer. In the Chinam, if you would have a piece of lettuce at the beginning of a regular Tuesday night dinner, you also wouldn't make a Bar Pri Adama. Whatever's called Lagaris Havas Achila, whatever's there to help you get the digestive juices going, is covered by the bracha of Amelsa. So Taisus gives one answer. And Taisus in a different answer says that, well, normally salad at the beginning of the meal maybe would not be covered by hamotzi, but this salad, the romaine lettuce and mora, is different because the Torah says amas the mora b'chlu. What do you mean it's not bomach masasuda? That's what it says. It says kaddish of its kapitan, that's what you're supposed to do. So the halacha requires you to eat the mora, so the Torah's machshim is being dvar mach masasuda. So it's just for either based on metzius reasons or based on halachic reasons. Those explains away to you why in fact Mora is called Dvar Mabar Machmas HaSe'uda. But then finally, at the very end of the Tzadik Tzachim, Tzadik quotes one day from one of the Rishonim, Rav Yosef Tuvelim. Rav Yosef Tuvelim, a good man, that was used to call him a good man. So Rav Yosef Tuvelim writes that in the Chinami, Mora really does require Bar Pri Adama. The only thing is that you just made a Bar Pri Adama 3 hours earlier on Karpas. So the Bar Pri Adama of Karpas is going to potter the Bar Pri Adama of Mora. Whereas the other days in places are trying to figure out in a different reason why Mora never really needed Bar Pri Adama, why it was covered by a motzi, why it's labeled out a Dvar Mabar Machmas HaSe'uda, either for halachic reasons or metzius technical reasons. But Rav Yosef Tevelin takes a different approach. Rav Yosef Tevelin says, it's taka not Bar Machmas HaSe'uda, the taka does require Bar Pri Adama, yet the Bar Pri Adama of Karpas is going to potter it. Based on Rav Yosef Tevelin, that we have a custom of eating less than a kezayis for karpas, because if you eat more than a kezayis, then you have to make a bernefashis. Make a bernefashis, then of course the bracha can no longer potter. So based on this opinion of Yosef Tevelim, which one bechashish too, so according to Yosef Tevelim, you better make sure that the vegetable you're picking for karpas better be a bar pri adama. If you're going to pick something for karpas, it's not a bar pri adama, so you're blowing it. I mean, you may be technically yotzei karpas, but you're going to miss the boat in terms of the bracha bar pri adama. So the absolutely critical is that it be something which is bar pri adama. So comes the Mishnah Berurah, and the Chora would tell us, what's the halacha a person wants to use for karpas and onion? What's the ditch? Should we have a problem with that? So the answer is, yeah, we have a very serious problem with that. because an onion is the correct bracha on an onion. It's not a bird for Adama. It's a shakal. So how can you go ahead and go chatchil and use the vegetable for carpus, which is not even a bird for Adama? That's going to throw into question the validity of keeping that as the bracha for the maror. So therefore, according to Mishnah Berurah, there's no question that one should not use onions for carpus. Remember several years ago when I was saying a shiur. And I made this chesed, I just made this whole shtickle Torah, that according to Mishnah Berurah, yes, it's developed, yes, you shouldn't use an onion for carpus. The kid raised his hand in the back, and he says, Rabbi, the minhag in our family is we use onions for carpus. Well, what's that based on? I said, I don't know. So then after further questioning, he told me that his family has many lubavitcher minhagim. So I said, oh, now I understand exactly why. So apparently I think lubavitcher do use onions for carpus. Why? Well, she tells them, because they follow the Shulchan Aruch Rav. Shulchan Aruch Rav, it was their Rebbe, it was the Baal HaTanya. So Shulchan Aruch Rav, in Uchaz Baruch HaSupaskin, that onions taka are a barbara dama. Why? Because he disagrees with the Mishnah Berurah's basic conclusion. The Mishnah Berurah held that anything that's not eaten by itself is not called Derech Lechol Chai, so therefore the correct Baruch on onion is Shahakol. So according to we who follow the Mishnah Berurah, I was talking right. I was right and he was right. I was right that we who follow the Pesach when the Mishnah Berurah should not use onions for kakos. Those who follow the Pesach, Mishnah Berurah, Rav, Nuchas, Baruch, so she also can use onions for karpas.
That's because they ate raw onions.
No, no, no. According to Shulchan Aruch Rav, you would make a bar pri adama on a raw onion, because since it's derech lechol on a salad raw, that's called derech lechol chai. Doesn't matter, that's not derech lechol by itself. But even if you would go ahead and eat it by itself, that's still called derech lechol chai. That was the chiddush of Shulchan Aruch Rav.
And everybody else?
Mr. Berurah said no. Mr. Berurah said the bracha shakol.
And when is it bar pri adama when it's cooked?
Well, so we're going to get to the cooked onions in a second. So, that's what we get to. So the question now becomes, moving out of the realm of the raw onions, to move into the realm of the cooked onions and fried onions, so what would the halacha be about those kinds of onions? The answer is the same as we've been saying all along. That if it's darka b'kach to eat it in a fried way, in a cooked way, so then of course the bracha is going to go up to a bar priya dhamma. So the question becomes, how does this play out l'maisa for us, l'man hazeh? One of the most common shailas in terms of the bracha on onions is onion rings. What is the bracha? I don't mean like in the bag, like the potato chips of onion rings which are made of, I'm not sure what. Real onion rings. You go to a place, you go to Dougie's, you go to a place and they fry you up onions with flour on it and all kind of other delicious things on it. So what is that bracha? So l'chora should be an open and shut case. Of course the bracha is going to be a bracha for Adama. Is that Daka Bekach? Right, Daka Bekach. It's mentioned on the menu. So l'chol day is the correct bracha of onion rings would be a Bori Pri HaAdama. However, one has to raise the following question. This is a throwback to what we spoke about earlier on in the year. The Gemara tells us, Rabbi Shmuel, the Amri Shemai, Rabbi Shmuel both told us, the kol sheyesh bo v'chamesh is mini dogon mevarach l'abar min ha'gizayin. Anything that has flour in it from the five species of grain, so the bracha is always going to be a mizonos. And that halacha of Rabbi Shmuel, that the chamesh min hadamah gets the bar min hamizonos, that's from the regular halacha of the Nikah v'tafel. Usually we have Nikah v'tafel, so we have different guidelines. How do you figure out what Nikah v'tafel depends on the row of other things? But comes the Gemara says that when you have chamesh min hadamah, everything changes. So you follow the chamesh min hadamah, even though they're only the miyot. So nevertheless, the Gemara says there's an exception even to that rule, notwithstanding the significance of chamesh min hadamah. The Gemara says that if the Chamesh is made on the just the Devat Ba'alma, just to be a binder, so then Itzakah will not be a Bracha Bar Mizon. So it's a classic example. You have a piece of gefilte fish. So one of the ingredients of gefilte fish is matzah mil. So the Bracha on the gefilte fish is not Bar Mizon. Why? I is Chamesh is made on. The answer is the matzah mil is not there to give taste. It's not there to enhance the food. It's there just to keep the fish together. So that, the Gemara says, the same is the Devuk of the Alma. The Devuk of the Alma would only warrant a Bracha of Shahakol. So the question becomes, on onion rings, what exactly is the status of the flour that's put on the onion rings? So should we say that's called the Devek B'Alma? So Pashas not, because Pashas is giving taste. So anything that's giving ta'am to the food, that by definition it is, that this is the Devek B'Alma. So l'chora, rather than saying that the bracha on onion rings is shahakol, that's out of the question, and rather than saying the bracha is a bar pri adama, it appears that the more correct bracha on onion rings should be mizonos, because it has flour, it's prepared with flour, and the flour is ikar, either flour is up the rope, it doesn't matter, the flour is still eaten. Nevertheless, if you remember, I think we spoke about this earlier on the about the schnitzel. that this is not so partial. Is this really the correct application of that Gemara of Kol Kishamesh Bochamesh Bin Adonim? So there was a suggestion that was given by different poskim for different reasons, that Moshe has it, so other poskim have such an idea, that this rule of Kol Kishamesh Bochamesh Bin Adonim, Barakal Berman Mizonos, is not an absolute end all. I mean, even though the Gemara makes it sound like it trumps all the rules of Ikka B'Tafel, it's not always true. At least the way Ramesha seems in one place to formulate it, it means as follows. If you have mizonos that's in there, even though it happens to be bottle baro, it's not the majority of the food, it could still get a bar mitzvah mizonos, however, says Ramesha. But if you have such an insignificant amount of flour in it, that you would never eat that flour by itself, you would never say that, oh, let's scrape off the top of the onion ring and just eat the coating. So comes Ramesha and says, Lamosha for schnitzel. So what's the bracha on schnitzel? So came a group of folks who said schnitzel is the bar mitzvah mizonos. Aye, ruba the ruba of it is the meat. It doesn't matter. Even if they have a little bit of flour in it, kosher, it has breadcrumbs on top, matzah on top, whatever it's got on top, the bracha is going to be a bar mitzvah mizonos. That's what some folks can say. So comes the Ramesha and says, no, it's not true, says the Ramesha, that even though physically there is some mizonos in there, but you're not eating it for the mizonos. Proof positive, says the Ramesha. Would anybody that right mind take a knife and scrape off the top of the schnitzel and sit down, oh, I'm having a schnitzel, a top of schnitzel snack. You want to do that? No, don't do that. So therefore, even though the Gemara doesn't give that hagadara, the Ramesha says that's also considered to be batel, notwithstanding the fact that it's chameshes min hadamim. So based on that, stock of Ramesha, the schnitzel, it appears to me that the same thing as the onion rings. I'm not such a big onion ring man, but it appears to me that most people who eat onion rings would not say, you know what, to get the onion part, I'm just going to get some of that really geschmack, a deep fry, a high cholesterol, a cook on top. So I don't think most people do that. So therefore, if you make a mizonos on schnitzel, then in the chalami you have to make a mizonos on onion rings. But most people that I know of do not make a mizonos on schnitzel, they make a shakal on schnitzel, so I think we should tell them they should make a shakal on the onion rings as well. Again, what it says in some of the books. So yeah, some of the brachas books write mizonos for the bracha on onion rings, but with Lefi and Yezdaik, that only makes sense if you're going to make a mizonos on the schnitzel.
I love very much the container of the schnitzel before it was served.
Flour,
come,
come on
it.
Like the onion rings, like if you go to Dougie, they have a blooming onion.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just get a strip of the fried.
So it could be yesh.
And that's very tasty.
It could be yesh for yesh. It could be those onion rings. Some of them are doggies. They're mamish. They're mamish yesh, but mamish to them. Yeah. And I'm thinking there's a difference in the doggies and the white cafeteria. Maybe that's mushba by the other kinds of onion rings. I don't know. And look at me. So I say it depends. I don't know. I have to take Dr. Bell's on schnitzel into consideration. I don't know. So I'm willing to say that it's going to depend on the type of food. It's interesting that one of those brachas, if I'm not mistaken, I saw that they want to argue that knishes may get a, let's say, potato knish may get a bar for adama based on the svar also, even though it has flour on the outside, but based on Ramesha's svar, maybe it should get a bar for adama. I thought that wasn't true. I thought the confused wasn't right. The knishes, said a lot of people like the coating of, yeah, the coating of the knish. Yeah, I'm not sure that that's the same.
That is similar to the havdil. The ice cream sandwich depends what you're eating it for. You're eating it before the wafer, you're eating it before the ice cream.
The ice cream is usually, the ice cream is a little bit different because there the two foods are prepared separately. So the other folks can say that when you have a mizonos type of food that was never really prepared together with the other food, so that it doesn't become batel, on the other hand, it's not mevatel of the other things either. Whereas in here, the knish was baked together with the potatoes and so on. There they made the ice cream and then they made the cookies and they shook the two together. So there it probably requires both brachas, unless you really don't want the cookie. You just want the cookie just to keep your hands from getting dirty, then talk about no bracha on the cookie. But if you want both, then the bracha is probably going to be both. But the idea about the potato knish is that since it was made as a chetika achas, so therefore, if the mizonos is the ikar, then it's not an ikar, and it carries a day, there's no other bracha on the potatoes. Whereas if you hold like those who wanted to argue that the potato knish is like the schnitzel, which I don't think the mitzvah is right, so then the bracha would be a bar prezama. So all these halachas that we've been having, we've been discussing about shlokos, and that was called derech lechol, not derech lechol. So we've been talking about them primarily in terms of b'chus brachos, and we passed like with chizda, we took this out of the realm of kol tara kula, so this really has nothing to do with matzah and mor and other areas of halacha. And I do it as an zonah, do a shirin kainah. It's purely a brachas topic. Nevertheless, Even though it's a quote-unquote brachas tafik, we have a cloud, we've seen many times the case of Mavachim, told the tikkun rabbanon ke'ein deraisa tikkun, that when the chachamim formulate halacha, so they usually have their eye to some kind of pre-existing din deraisa. This concept that there's an idea of derech achiva, not derech achiva, sometimes a food is eaten in a certain surah, sometimes eaten in a different surah, does that have any role, any difference whatsoever, any nafkaminas ladina on levels of deraisa? So if we take a look in the ninth of the Mamakomos, we'll notice that many of the halachas that we've been talking about, which are again purely mitirabanan, are very much patterned after a pre-existing din deraisa, something that we spoke a little bit about in the past, I want to come back to now. So if you take a look at the ninth of the Mamakomos in Masechta Shviyas, Perches, let's take a look at Mishnah Beis. So Mishnah Beis says, Shviyas nitna le'achila u'l'shtia u'l'sicha. That the halacha is that Perish Shviyas, one is permitted any fruit that grows in the Shvitiya that has Kedusha to it. So one is permitted to use it for the purposes of eating, for the purposes of drinking, for shmearing. So what is it? An oil or something? So what does this mean exactly? So the Mishnah continues, Lechol davar shedaka lechol, losuch davar shedaka losuch. And it says, but you shouldn't be, you shouldn't shmear things which are not dark and losuch. It's like oil, you're allowed to shmear, but you shouldn't shmear yourself with wine of shemitah. Wine is usually, purposes of consuming, not for the purpose of shmearing. So the Mishnah uses the phrase that shemitah is given for achilu shtil sicha, and the phrase the Mishnah continues with is lechol dover shadarka lechol. What exactly does that mean, lechol dover shadarka lechol? What's the connotation of that line in the Mishnah? So the Rishami discusses this. So the Rishami gives a few different interpretations. What does that phrase of lechol davar shedaka lechol mean? So one interpretation of the Rishami is that if the food is not edible, the food is spoiled, so you're not mechuyav to eat it. I might think that you have to eat all the perish shvi'is, now I have to throw perish shvi'is into the garbage. I might think even the spoiled food you have to eat, kamash for one, it's not true. That's one interpretation of the Rishami. But the other interpretation of the Rishami is not a kula, but rather a chumra. That lechol davar shedaka lechol is limiting how you're permitted to eat perish shvi'is. Namely, the key word is darko. It has to be derech achila. What does that mean, derech achila? So the Rishami gives some examples. What's considered to be shaloka derech achila? Says Rishami, what would that halacha mean? You have a type of vegetable that's normally eaten cooked, so then you're not allowed to eat that vegetable raw. Or vice versa, the Rishami implies, if you have a vegetable that's normally eaten raw, then you're not permitted to eat that cooked. So comes the Rambam, the ninth of the Mamakamos, in the halacha days, in Chushmit Yom, Parakei halacha days, and basically paraphrases the Rishami. So, le'achilu shtia keitz. So what does it mean that you're allowed to eat perishvius and you're allowed to drink perishvius? Lechol davar shedaka lechol. Lishtos davar shedaka lishtos. Kidin trumu ma'isa sheini. So first of all, the Rambam says that this is not just our halacha in terms of perishvius, even though the Mishnah is talking about shvius, but this is true for anything, any type of food which has kedusha to it. Such as truma has kedusha to it, ma'isa sheini has kedusha to it. Any food which has kedusha to it is limited by darka lechol and darka lishtos. So then halacha gimel. One is not permitted to eat things out of the ordinary in perishvias, just as one is not permitted to do so in truma and sheni. Dovash darka lechol chai lo yochlen abavushal. The dovash darka lechol abavushal ain ochlen also chai. Says the Rambam, quoting the Rishami, that at least one of the applications of this klal of darka lechol means that you have to eat it in the tzura, in the manner that it's normally in, i.e. if it's normally in raw, it has to be in raw. If it's normally in cooked, then it has to be in cooked. And this is the halacha, pashta din min haTorah, in terms of perish shviyas. How do we know that this is true? Where did Chazal get this idea from, that you have to eat it after kederach? So there are some Rishonim who say, it's based on a drasha we spoke about in the past, la'ochlav lo lehefsed. If you remember, we spoke about this way, way back, at the idea about chopping down the fruit trees during the Shemitah year. La'ochlav lo lehefsed. And the Torah says, no, start, come here. V'hoitz ha-shavis ha-aretz lochem la'ochla. So say Chazal, la'ochlav lo lehefsed. That you have to eat it, but you're not allowed to destroy it. So what does destroy mean? So we usually think destroy means you take your perishvias and you throw mamish into the garbage or the regular garbage. That's called master perishvias, true. Or you take a beautiful fruit tree and you chop it down, the fruit gets destroyed. That's also true. The Gemara says himself. That's also probably Achlav Lehefsed. So now the Gemara is telling us a little bit more of a subtle Achlav Lehefsed. I'm eating it. I'm not destroying it. But that's not called what the Torah considers to be eating. The Torah speaks to normal people. So the Torah says to eat, the Torah says, that means to eat a cooked potato. It doesn't mean to eat a raw potato. Eat a raw potato. That's not called eating. That's shaloka derech achila. So that becomes now a din midaraisa in terms of the fulfillment of la'achla, or the lack thereof of violating of la'achla and la'achla hafsed, which now limits how we're supposed to eat perishvias, and limits how we're supposed to eat at truma, and limits how we're supposed to eat at ma'isa sheni. That's not just din midaraisa, all the rights of la'achla. Right. That's not the Hefzid. That's also so now, l'chora, we begin to get a little bit of an insight as to what's going on in terms of Hilchos Brachos. We've already seen that there is some kind of a link between Hilchos Brachos and Hilchos Shmita and Hilchos Truma. We saw this already in the sugya of the fruit juices. We saw this already in the sugya of the Truma. Remember the Gemara says that if you have dates of Truma, so remember we said the Chassidus Shavuot, the Truma you're allowed to make the Truma. So you're allowed to take the dates, which are of Truma, and mash them up and eat them in the state of Truma. The Gemara says you're allowed to do that to Truma fruit, and the Chaz Nish says you're allowed to do that to Shemitah fruit. Why is that? Because that's still considered to be the original fruit. As long as you're retaining the original Achila Sapri, that's not considered to be an Isra of Hafsid Truma. Once you take it out of the realm of the normal Derech Achila, then you're in the realm of being Mafsid. The Truma being Mafsid of Perishvias. Well, the Marshal, we said, the Gemara says that if you take dates and you turn them into beer, that you're not allowed to do. That Tamarim Shal Truma, also lasos and sheicha. That's the issue of deraisa pashtus to turn them into a beer. Why is that? So if you remember, we learned from the Rashba a couple of weeks ago that since that's considered to be not normal, the olden days that was not a normal drink. Says the Rashba, says the Chazish, but that's the Rashba. What if you have oranges of truma, oranges of shmita, that it's perfectly normal with matters that it turn them into orange juice? So says the Chazish, it's have to go over. The Rashba, remember the Rashba by the fruit juice. So the Rashba says, why is that a fruit juice to shahakol? And a potato soup is a bar for adama. So says the Chazanish, that in the name of the Rashba, it all depends on one factor, on derech. If it's derech achila, then the bracha remains the same. If it's not derech achila, then the bracha changes. So that distinction between derech achila versus not derech achila, which we learned until now, reflected itself in terms of chopped up fruit, or reflected itself in terms of liquids, of beverages that come from the fruit. That klal, that derech achila, is so critical. We saw that in two areas of halacha. We saw that in the realm of perishvias / truma, and we saw that in the realm of Hilchos Brachos. And the rules of Hilchos Brachos are very much parallel to the rules of Hilchos Truma and Shmita. Whatever's called derech achila for one is called derech achila for the other, and vice versa. So now we're getting a different twist on that klal. So here we're not talking about doing something to the fruit or the vegetable in terms of changing its status. Here we're talking about what status I'm eating in the first place. Am I eating it raw? Am I eating it cooked? So just as in Hilchos Shmita and Hilchos Truma, there are klalim ochel lehefset, and therefore the Mishnah Shviyah says lechel davar shadarka lechel, and therefore the Rishami says to take a normal cooked vegetable and eat it raw, or a normal raw vegetable and eat it cooked is also midaraisa because ochel lehefset. So too in Hilchos Brachos follows suit as well. That when the Chachamim formulated Hilchos Brachos, they said you should recite the bracha pratis, the real bracha, the real mekor bracha, only on that which is called an achila in the realm of Hilchos Shmita and Truma. So if it's called an achila, if it's called a pri, if it's called kedushas shviyas, if it's called kedushas truma, if it's called kedushas ma'aseh sheni, for those areas of halacha, so then it's called then Hilchos Brachos kicks in as well. So Hilchos Brachos wasn't in a vacuum. Hilchos Brachos was instituted, Ka'ein was considered to be the Achila of Dvarim Shel Kedusha. And perhaps we can add a twist to this, to this idea. So if you go back all the way to the beginning of the sugya, remember we started Brachos 8 months ago, so we said one of the Mekoros for Brachos in the first place, even though the end of the day was rejected on technical grounds, was Kodesh Elul Hashem. It was the idea that with Mahal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Meshabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through the eating of Kodesh. What was the Kodesh? So the Kodesh there was Revoy, it was fourth year fruit. Well, what's the status of fourth year fruit? Now, from Baba Kama we learned fourth year fruit is Ma'aseh Sheni. Fourth year fruit has all the halachas of Ma'aseh Sheni. It's all Mishmah one and the same. Just as Ma'aseh Sheni has to be in the Kedusha, just as Ma'aseh Sheni has to be in the Tara, just as Ma'aseh Sheni has to be in the Darko Mekach, you cannot start squeezing out apples of Ma'aseh Sheni, you can't start making applesauce perhaps of Ma'aseh Sheni, and you can't eat the raw potatoes of Ma'aseh Sheni. When you eat Kodesh, you have to meet a certain surah. So when the Chachamim instituted Hilchos Brachos, also it's together, it's an asmacht of Kodesh Elul Hashem. So they said that whatever's called an achila for Ma'aseh Sheni, for Truma, for Shmita, that's called an achila to recite a bracha, at least the original bracha, the main bracha, for the realm of Hilchos Brachos as well. So it could be that this shtickle Torah, this little nuance in terms of the raw onions and the raw carrots and the raw potatoes, may be an eye-opener in terms of linking together many, many sugyas that we've said. So in one small sugya of shlachos, we saw a little bit of a throwback at the beginning of the parak. We saw a little bit of a throwback to the nasif and the shviyas. We saw a little bit of a throwback to the schnitzel. So a lot of sugyas all become intertwined in terms of this basic klal. Following your rechizdas yourself, that has to be derchil. Derchil that gets the original bracha, not derchil that loses out and only gets the shakal. Okay.
Can you?
Yeah.
Yeah, are you alive?
Yeah, it's great.
Okay, beautiful.
Listen, I want to ask you something. When I put the shoe in the room, I put the camera, it's going in different format. It's not on the other one. There's no different part. I could not say the shoe in the other shoe. And say if you want to say click right, you know, click, you know.
No, you have to right click it.
But there's nowhere to click.
No. You put your mouse, I'm doing it now. You put your mouse over the name, you right click it, and press save target as.
Before you even open it?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. 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 I'll try to do that. Okay. Okay, so it's on the website?
It's on the website already.
Okay.
Yeah,
I hear it. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.